The second way to manage your state that's absolutely critical is controlling what you focus on and how you focus on things. Now, if you've read my book or you have any background in seminars, traditionally I've called that how you represent things internally, your internal representations. In other words, what do you picture in your head and how you picture things? What do you say to yourself at any moment in time, and how you're saying things certainly affects the way you feel inside and therefore how you're going to behave. So you've got to be able to control what you focus on in any situation. Whatever you're feeling at any moment in time is based on what you're focused on. Have you ever been in physical pain, like a headache or some hurt, some real hurt, and you thought, oh, I got to get an aspirin or something, and then something happened and your focus got distracted and you got like caught up in something else that really interested you and it took all your focus and all of a sudden the pain was gone? How many of you have had that experience? So the same thing is true in selling. Selling is controlling the customer's focus. See, you want them to focus on benefits and value to them and how this is going to create more joy and less pain and how not having it would be painful. That's the focus you want them to have, isn't it? And if you don't control their focus will go wherever it traditionally goes. They may go immediately to price and they'll focus on how come it costs so much, or they'll focus on, let's say, something that they think somebody else has that they think is better. And as a result, when they focus on something like price or cost or inconvenience or installation, they're going to be in a state that doesn't feel too good, and they're probably not going to behave by buying your product. Does that make sense? So the same thing is true of yourself, though. You must control your own focus. You got to control what you think about and how you think about it, how you represent things in your mind. Now, there are lots of ways to do that. One of the most important ways to do that, I would say, would be to learn to use questions. For years, I've taught salespeople that the most powerful tool they have in influencing other people are questions. In fact, let me say to you right now, and I'm sure I'll repeat it again, but I want you to remember this forever, that if you want to be successful in selling, you must understand the 80-20 rule of selling. And I keep telling you that 80% of success is why and 20% is how. I want you to remember that. Because if you get enough reasons, how to sell somebody is easy. If they get enough reasons to buy, emotional reasons and some logic, enough of them, they're going to buy. If those reasons motivate both their pain and their pleasure. But the second 80-20 rule is this. That 80% of the time when you're with the customer, they should be talking. And 20% of the time, you should be talking. And that's an 80-20 rule you better remember as well. Because if you're talking 80% of the time and they're talking 20, what's happening is you're throwing a bunch of stuff against the wall and you're not really meeting needs. It does not take very much time to meet somebody's needs once you know what they are, but you got to know what they are. And that's what questioning does. How can we use questions on ourselves? Well, questions do a lot of things. One of the things that questions do is they control immediately what we focus on and therefore the state that we're in. What happens to you if I ask you a question like, what are you most happy about in your life right now? If I ask you that question and you really answer it, think about it. What are you really most happy about in your life right now, or what could you be happy about? What would you say? And the second question is, not only what are you most happy about, but why does that make you happy and how does that make you feel? Now, if I ask you a question like, what makes you happy, you might go, well, what makes me happy is I'm doing well in the job. Great. You don't get a lot of feeling out of that because you've answered it intellectually. So I might say, well, what about that makes you happy? So now I'm looking for the why, which means the what? The reasons. Remember, whenever you're selling, you're looking for reasons. You don't want to just know people's answers. You want to know their motivation behind any answer they give you. You always want to know why. Why? And so they start to tell you the why, and they start to have more feelings about the reasons than they do about the situation. And then I say, how does that make you feel? And if I really make you think, you're going to go in and actually get the feelings because I ask the question that creates feeling. So if you want to look at where your life is the result of the questions you ask yourself. A lot of people spend their days asking questions like, why does this always happen to me? There's an important key about questions it's best for you to remember, and that is this. That whatever you ask, you will receive. You remember the old phrase, ask and you shall receive? You need to get yourself to a place where you remember that whatever you're asking for, your brain will oblige. If you ask it continuously, why is my life so screwed up? Your brain's got this huge, giant manufacturing plant, and it's got all this raw materials of memories, and it can cut and splice and delete parts of your memories and make it feel like that's really true. Every one of us right now could feel really lousy if all we did was ask ourselves lousy enough questions. Every one of us could focus on things that would immediately put us in a state of feeling good by asking better questions. If I asked you, what's really screwed up in your life? What have you heard about? What happened long ago in your past that makes you sad? Do you know what? Every one of us, if we think long enough, could come up with something, and all of a sudden we'd feel depressed. At the same time, if I asked you, what really has given you joy in your life so far? What are you proud of in your life? And you might say, I'm not proud of anything. And I might say, well, if you were going to be proud, what could you be proud of? How does that make you feel? And you know what happens? It's like as soon as you start focusing on things, instantly you go into state, you start feeling those feelings, and you get that joy. So it's important you ask questions that really support yourself instead of destroy yourself, because a lot of us are really, really hard on ourselves. And we don't mean to be. We've just got these habitual questions that don't support us. Well, I found in my life, at least, that there are habitual questions that I was asking that made me upset. Like, one of the emotions I experienced a lot was I'd be mad. And then my madness would be, I'm trying to do something, I'm giving all my all, but I didn't think somebody else was. It'd make me angry. And the reason I was angry is I'd always ask questions like, how come they always do this? It's a pretty giant generalization. And if you ask questions you can't get an answer to, it usually makes you mad. How come they always do this? And then there's no real answer. You just go in an endless loop. Well, because of this. Probably because of that. Probably, and you don't know why. Also, you're presupposing that they always do this, and they may not. But it whips you into a frenzy. Have you ever done these things? Am I making sense? So what would be some questions you might want to ask yourself so you can manage your state before you make a sales call? Because here's a traditional dialogue, as I perceive it, in a lot of salespeople. They get in their car, they're driving the sales call, and they think, God, why do I have to do this? Or, God, I wonder if he probably doesn't even want to see me. I wonder why am I having to do this again? You might have questions that will really demotivate you. Why do I have to do this? I'll give you a better phrase. Start saying, oh, God, I have to do this, and I have to do that. Try, I want to do this. I want to do that. So the question I got for you is, what are some questions you sometimes ask that make you feel less than resourceful? Am I wasting this time with this prospect? Now, the minute you start doing that and evaluating wasting time, how does that make you feel? And what does that do to your gut? What's another one? Is it worth it? Do you know if you focus on is it worth it all the time, you keep evaluating it, it creates less of a sense of certainty that it is worth it. Do you know, a lot of people have a problem with confidence. I don't have a lot of problems with confidence. The reason is because I don't sit around all the time going, what if I try this and it doesn't work? If I ask those kinds of questions, or am I really ready? If you keep asking those questions, you whip yourself into a frenzy just by focusing on the possibility you're not ready. I don't even ask those questions. I ask, okay, what am I going to do? What's my purpose? Okay, how can I make a difference here? And that puts my focus somewhere else in a way that what I'm focusing on makes me feel phenomenal. What are some empowering questions you could ask yourself? What are some that could put you in a great state right before the sales interview? I wonder how much he's going to buy. Great question. What's another one? How can I make the most of this? Excellent question. What's another one? How can I become the best right now? How many referrals is he going to give me? How can I make this prospect my friend? How about a question like, I wonder what this person's really about, what their life's about. That's a good one for me because it makes me curious so that when I go in there, I have genuine interest in talking with a prospect. I'm not just trying to get data so I can close someone. See, if you can get some genuine interest before you walk in there, that's part of preparation as far as I'm concerned. What about questions like when you're thinking about going for the sales interview, and instead of just thinking about the sales, thinking about, I wonder if this will turn into a friendship that'll last years. I wonder how deep a friendship we'll create over the next 5 years. That's a whole different focus. Would that make you feel differently if you're focusing on that when you walked in to see this person for the first time? It'd be a lot different, wouldn't it? If you're cold calling and you're in the kind of selling where you don't have a prospect, but you're literally going door to door to door, or you're telemarketing, are there questions you could ask yourself there that would put you in great states? I'd ask a question like, how can I make this call fun and interesting? How can I make this next person I meet pay attention and have fun while I'm doing it? How can I make sure it's fun for them to meet me? How can I be outrageous or mysterious or weird or playful in a way that will grab their attention and make them want to hear me? Different possibilities. This will be your next set of exercises. But before I turn you loose to do that, I want to give you one other way to be able to, once you've, let's say, established you've got a way to use your body to be in a top state, and once you've also established some ways to focus by asking questions, what you really need to do is develop what I call a results ritual. Now, a results ritual for me means something you do every single day to put yourself in peak states as a way to manage yourself. I believe most people in life have been conditioned to fail, not to succeed. And condition to fail meaning that no one has sat down and really showed them, if you don't work on taking care of your body, if you don't work out, if you don't do the necessary things, not knowing certain things is going to cost you physically. In this country, one out of two people have a heart attack. And it's not because they want to have a heart attack, and it's not because they don't care. I think primarily it's because they developed some bad habits and no one ever showed them how to condition themselves to have the physical vitality to be here for 75, 85, 95, 105, 115 years and have a vibrant quality of life. So part of managing your entire state is having a body through which you can execute your emotions and ideas. For most people, their body ends up becoming a prison where all of a sudden they've got all this emotion and feeling and intellect and power, but it never gets out because they don't have a vessel to do it with. For me, my highest priority is making sure I've got some physiology, because without that, I feel lousy, and I'm not going to use all the intellect and ideas and emotions and feelings that are there, because I just don't feel like it. You know, in the Bible it says, sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's like you get out of the morning and, you know, your mind says, let's go get them, and your body says, I can't even get out of bed. You got to take care of your body, and you got to condition it daily, not aerobics once a month. You know, and I'm not saying it has to be aerobics. And there are lots of ways to go about it that are non-stressful. But I want you to know that's critical. And you got to condition your mind. I know a lot of people that are in great physical condition, and that helps them emotionally. But they don't have the success they want because they haven't conditioned themselves to succeed. I can't tell you how many people I see who start to succeed and then sabotage their own success. I see it around me all the time. And you know what? It's primarily because they haven't conditioned themselves to be ready for it. Hey, I did that trip. By the time I was 19 years old, I was super successful by my definition of success at the time. Then it was just money. I grew up poor, figured, hey, money was the answer. Found out that wasn't quite true. And a lot of people think that money will solve all your problems. As you know by now, that's not true. But if you do make enough money, at least you can arrive at your problems in style. Right? The point is, though, that I made all this money, had all this supposed success. But what I didn't realize was that in my life growing up, no one had worked at this. But I had this preconceived notion of what I thought I deserved. You have it also. And that was a conditioned belief that I wasn't even aware of. It was an unconscious belief. And so sure enough, just as I started to succeed, bam-o, my brain said, nah, this is not who you are. And whap, I destroyed everything. I did stupid things. I gained 38 pounds and a heartbeat in about 7 weeks, to be specific, 7 or 8 weeks. That's not easy to do. You have to like eat tons of food and not move very much to pull that off, right? Which I managed to do. But I want you to understand that what shows up in your life has to do with your mental conditioning. So what you can do is you can learn a process for conditioning yourself to stay in a peak state. And that process is an anchoring process. In other words, a way to trigger your brain so it consistently moves you in a direction you want to go. And it's a process that comes from a technology called neuro-linguistic programming. And what it is called a swish pattern. It's really simple. All it is, and in fact, it goes back all the way back to Ivan Pavlov. Most of neuro-linguistic programming, that science, comes from different aspects. This is basic Pavlov stimulation, just taking it a little another step further in terms of how you can personally use it to condition yourself to succeed. But here's what I'd like you to try. I want you to imagine in your mind for a moment that there are traditional images you sometimes focus on that maybe don't make you feel so good. Can you think of some of them? Maybe some images you sometimes focus on that make you feel like, you know, what's the use? Or, you know, situations in life that you kind of get an overwhelm over. Think of one of those for a minute, and I'd like you just for a moment to imagine that picture sitting right in front of you. That, I'll call it negative picture. It's an image that traditionally comes up sometimes when you think about doing something and then you just don't do it. Because you think of it and you feel this way. Now this could also be a negative habit, and we teach this in much more detail, but just to give you an idea, this could be like I used to bite my fingernails. And what I had here in this image, of course, from my mind was seeing my hand coming up and biting my fingernails and the kind of feelings I had about myself doing that. Then what we want to do is we want to take this negative thought process that we usually have, it's kind of a habitual one, and we want to use it to be a triggering device to make us bigger and better and more. And the way we're going to do that is first we get this image. So go ahead and think of one right now so I know you've got one. You can even close your eyes for a moment if you'd like. And actually stop for a second, and I want you to think of a negative image. An image in your mind that sometimes comes up that keeps you from really succeeding at the highest level. So what I'd like you to do is this. Open your eyes for a second and forget that image. What I'd like you to do now instead is I'd like you to create a second image in your mind. And that second image in your mind is to be a very positive image. And the image, to be very specific, is I want you to create an image of yourself the way you would be if you were the kind of person that was already living all the goals you have. In other words, the kind of person who has the lifestyle you want to have, treats people the way you ideally would treat people if you were at your best, feels about themselves the way you'd like to feel about yourself, the kind of person that just seeing yourself standing, walking, breathing, talking that way, maybe dressed a certain way, I want you to get an image that really motivates you, that God, to be that way, that would be something worth really doing almost anything to be that way. Maybe you already have an image like that of yourself, how you'd like to be. And close your eyes and make an image like that and make it vivid and work on it until it's really big, bright, colorful, something that would really motivate you, make you feel phenomenal about yourself if you looked or behaved this way. And while your eyes are closed, listen to me. You might want to make this image just not how you look, but you doing something. So maybe the first picture was you thinking about making cold calls and you're sitting at your desk and you put the phone back down and say, what's the use? And maybe the second one is you jump in there, you see yourself sitting down, you lift up the phone, you're starting to make calls, and you're in a peak state making sales and enjoying yourself, being an example of power and possibility and success. Get that successful image very clear. Now, by the way, if you're not good at making images, you can talk to yourself in a tone of voice. Make the first image a tone of voice. This is how I am. And the other one, this is how I am when I'm successful. And what I'm going to do with the pictures is I'm going to take the first ugly picture here, this negative one, and we're going to destroy it through the use of the positive one. What we're going to do is we're going to take this positive one and make it behind it, and we're going to have it come from behind and get bigger and bigger and bigger and literally explode through the big one and take over its entire space. So this disappears, and in its place now is a huge, giant picture of how you want things to be, how you're committed to having them be. Does this make sense? So if you're better with gut-level feelings, you can think about how you normally feel when you don't feel so good. Think about how you feel when you feel great and have this feeling come in and actually feel it in your body. Or you can do the same thing with sounds. Hear how you normally sound. Hear how you'd sound if you're at your best. And actually hear the sounds explode through and actually take over or dominate. So here's how it's going to work. You're going to start with a negative image. Behind it, you're going to imagine holding your right hand here behind it with this positive image. Only when you bring this positive image in, it's going to come from being normal size into exploding through this image. It'll be much bigger than the negative image. It'll be brighter, and it'll destroy the negative one into a million pieces. So it's like this. You'll see the negative image. Behind it, you'll feel the positive image. You'll see it begin to come forward, and you'll make this weird noise. You'll go whoosh. And there in front of your face will be this big image of what you want. And then we're going to repeat it over and over again. We're going to go back to the negative image. We're going to take the positive image behind it, and we're going to go whoosh. So what we're going to do is we're going to condition our mind. We're going to say, brain, see this? Whoosh, do this. And what we're going to do is feel the success. Then you're going to open your eyes. You're going to close your eyes again, see the negative image, take the positive, you're going to go whoosh. Every time you do it, you must feel the success. That's the critical part. And then we're going to do it over and over again. Brain, see this? Whoosh, do this. 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 So pretty soon when your brain sees the negative thought, it'll trigger the positive thought automatically. You won't have to jump up and down. It'll happen in your head before you even think about it. Let's try it, shall we? Do this. Sit up in your chair with some energy for starters. Take a nice deep breath in. Exhale out slowly. Feel excellent. And what I want you to do is close your eyes and in front of you right now, place an image. The image of the negative state. The state you go in sometimes maybe when you're going to go do prospecting. Something that normally stops you. And what I want you to do is when I say now, I want you to reach out and feel the power right behind there of that positive image. And when I say now, you're going to bring it roundhouse through, make it big, bright, and colorful, and have it literally feel it as it breaks through the old image. Feel the old image break apart, new image bigger and brighter, more focused and closer to you than the first one, and feel the success. Ready? And you're going to say whoosh while you do all this. So grab your right hand out there, feel the greatness of that powerful one, see the negative one in front of you, and you yell whoosh while you do it. I know this sounds weird. But listen, successful people do what failures won't. Give it a try. Ready, set, go. Whoosh! See and feel it breaking through and feel the joy and excitement of it right now. Feel it and enjoy it. Excellent. Excellent. There you go. Very nice. Open your eyes. Now, did you feel the difference? Can you feel the difference when you see that other image? Yes or no?
Yes.
Excellent. Then here's what I'm going to do. Close your eyes again. See the negative image. Reach out and grab the positive image behind it again. And this time, you're going to do even faster and more powerfully. Ready? Set, go. Whoosh. Actually feel it exploding through. Feel the success of it. That's it. Very good. Very good. Open your eyes. We're going to do it faster. Close your eyes. See the negative image. Now have the positive image be small in the right-hand bottom corner of the image. So it starts right there so you can see it simultaneously and watch it grow and explode through it. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three, go. Whoosh. Feel the success again. See it, feel it, hear it. Open your eyes. Now we're going to do it really fast. We're going to do about seven in a row as fast as we can to condition our mind. Ready? Close your eyes. See the negative image. Take the positive. Ready? Go.
Whoosh.
Excellent. Feel it. Open your eyes. Close your eyes. Do it again. Go.
Whoosh.
Excellent. Feel it. Open your eyes. Close your eyes, do it again fast.
Whoosh.
Excellent. Feel it, open your eyes, close your eyes, do it again fast.
Whoosh.
Excellent. Feel it, open your eyes, close your eyes, do it again faster.
Whoosh.
Open your eyes, close your eyes, do it again faster.
Whoosh.
Open your eyes, close your eyes, do it again faster.
Whoosh.
Open your eyes, close your eyes, do it again faster.
Whoosh.
Open your eyes, close your eyes, do it faster.
Whoosh.
Two more, open your eyes, close your eyes, do it faster.
Whoosh.
Open your eyes, close your eyes, do it faster.
Whoosh.
Stop. Now here's what I'd like you to do. Think about that old image and watch what happens in your mind immediately. By laughter, how many of you are getting a whoosh? Good. How many of you have a hard time even getting the old image now? Now, if you've done it and still isn't sticking, you just have to do it a little bit faster. You have to make the image you're changing to, the positive one, more intense, more positive, or you just need to do more of them. Now, what if every morning you decided to create a results ritual where basically you did three things? You started your morning as you woke up by asking yourself some questions. Some good questions you know would put you in a top state. Whatever those questions would be. What am I committed today to? What am I excited about today? What could I be excited about today? What am I happy about? You do a little morning ritual. We have one of these that we teach, but you could design your own. Secondly, you do a series of swish patterns. You do a dozen swish patterns. So what you're doing is conditioning your mind to move in that direction. See, what's beginning to happen is when you do this enough, there's an unconscious signal in your brain that says, this is what I want you to always move towards. I want you to move towards being this kind of person. So you don't just change in that one situation. But by doing a swish pattern, your brain is now being triggered to move in the direction of being that kind of person. For example, when I did this one to stop doing my fingernails, I saw myself biting my fingernails. Then I saw this image of me standing much like I am now in a super quality suit that I wanted with certain jewelry and things that for me at the time represented success. But they represented having and being the best, communicating something I believed in, and that person couldn't have their fingernails be chopped off by biting. They were down to the quick, so they used to bleed from biting them so bad. And so I did this thing over and over again, did like 25 of them. On day two, after I'd done this, one portion of the day, I noticed my finger was in my mouth, but I didn't bite it, but I noticed it was there. Now, a lot of people say, well, you failed. No, I didn't say that. I said, I'm just not conditioned enough. See, what I teach is neuroassociative conditioning. I don't teach programming. I used to teach neurolinguistic programming. That was nice, except the implication that often was given was you do something once and that's it. It just isn't that way. Some things you do once and they stick. Some things you got to condition. And you don't want to delude yourself. Sometimes you do it several times. Sometimes you got to do it every day. I believe that most of the success I have in my life is because daily I have conditioned myself to succeed. I didn't do it once 5 years ago and everything just came together. And that's just part of living, just like eating is part of living. I wouldn't think of not eating. I wouldn't think of not conditioning myself daily to be at my best. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. So questions in the morning, a dozen swish patterns, and then a check of some power physiology moves. You could just get up and do a series of moves. Boom, two or three of those so that your body, facial aerobics, your body, your emotions, and your mind are at their peak. This is called state management. And if you don't manage your state, you get to be one of the many. You get to be people who have all these complaints about how the environment affects them. Or you get to be somebody like a Belushi, like an Elvis Presley. People who seem to have it all, but did not have it all because they missed the most important lesson in life, how to manage your state. See, I meet people all the day who want me to do private therapy, very, very wealthy people who have all the power most people would dream of, all the things society would tell us you have to truly be happy. And they're drunk or on drugs, and they want me to help them turn their life around emotionally. They want me to change their behaviors because they never learned to manage their state. You want to be wealthy? All you have to do is think of all the things in this world you can be grateful for. Ask yourself, what am I grateful for today, every day? Why does that make me grateful? How does that make me feel? And you'll have more than what most people have in life.